question from Deepak Pagare Prabhu. I have heard that sinners are not allowed in heaven, which is created by God Almighty. So, what is salvation? Who will give salvation? How will our sin be forgiven? How can we wash our sin? Is there any water, oil, etc.? And who is the Savior? Muktidata. Answer. Yes, it is true that sinners are not allowed in heaven. Those who do punya, those who do pious activities, according to moral and scriptural principles, they go to heaven. And yes, heaven is ultimately created by God, although he has assistance of secondary creators like Brahmaji, who go about doing the act of creation at a more instrumental level. Now, what is salvation? Salvation is contrasted by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur with elevation. So, in many of the religions of the world, especially the Abrahamic religions like Christianity and Islam, the concepts of salvation and elevation are equated, wherein it is thought that there is one higher realm where one goes if one has faith and follows a particular savior. The Vedic scriptural understanding is much more subtle, refined and sophisticated. It describes that yes, there is a higher realm, but that higher realm where we go by elevation is heavens. But that higher realm is also temporary because it is a part of the material world. The universe is like a 14-story building in which we are at the 7th story, and the stories above us are called the Swargalokas. And those who do punya in this world go there. But even the Swargalokas are temporary, as Lord Krishna describes in 8.16 in the Bhagavad Gita. Abrahmabhuvana loka punaravartino anjuna mamupetyatu kaunteya punarjanmana vidyate. It describes that from the highest planetary system, that is the Brahmaloka, down to the lowest, all are places of repeated birth and death. Only one who attains Krishna's eternal abode doesn't fall back to this world, doesn't continue on in the cycle of birth and death. So salvation means to go beyond all material existence to the spiritual world, which alone is eternal, and to become reinstated there in our position as servants of Krishna eternally. So there, because we all long to love, and Krishna is supremely all-attractive object of love. So in loving him, our longing for love is eternally, perfectly and completely fulfilled. So who will give salvation? Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu in any of his forms? Mukti pradata sarvesham Vishnu revana samshaya. Lord Shiva himself says that it is Lord Vishnu who gives liberation, which is, there is no doubt. How will our sins be forgiven? When we surrender to Krishna, then by the practice of devotional service, we invoke the grace of Krishna, and then he forgives us of all sins. Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita 18.66, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. Says, give up all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I will free you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So, just as a government may have decided to punish a particular wrongdoer, but if that person reforms and seeks amnesty, then that person may be forgiven. Similarly, if we reform and surrender to Krishna, then we become purified of all sins. Krishna frees us from all those sins. So, how can we wash our sin? Actually, there's no water or oil for that, because water and oil are gross things, whereas sin is subtle. Now, that is washed actually by the remembrance of Krishna, which purifies our desires. Kavishta Karana Randrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham Dhanoti Chamalam Krishna Salilasya Thasharad. in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second canto, it is described that when the holy sounds connected with Krishna enter into our heart, Pravishtakarna Rendrena Swanam Bhava Saroruham, and when they enter into our heart, our attraction to Krishna increases. And Dhunoti Samalam, that all the mala, all the contamination that is there in the heart, dhunoti, it gets washed away. Salilasya tha sharat, just as a river may have become dirtied by various effluents and pollutants and things like that, but when the rains fall from the sky, then the rains are so profuse that the dirty water just gets flown away and the river becomes cleansed. So this example is given to indicate how actually if we want to cleanse the river ourselves, it's extremely difficult, it's nearly impossible. Similarly, for us to cleanse our sins ourselves is impossible. Now, what does sin mean? There are sinful activities which we definitely have to give up, but there are sinful desires which also need to be given up. And cleansing of sinful desires is what is paramount importance. And that will happen when we get some higher enjoyment, higher satisfaction in life. We are attracted to sin because sin promises enjoyment to us. But when we hear about Krishna and we understand how supremely attractive he is, and we experience for ourselves how wonderful it is to love and serve him, then our attractions for loving and serving Krishna increase. And then the desire to do anything else, to do anything sinful, becomes pale and stale in comparison, and gradually it becomes insignificant and non-existent over a period of time. So, washing of sins is a process of purification of our desires, where we give up the lower sinful desires and we take up the higher pure desires to love and serve Krishna. And that happens when we cultivate Krishna consciousness, when we cultivate remembrance of Krishna, by which our lower desires get purged and our higher desires get nourished. And again, who is the savior? Muktata, as I explained, is Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu. As I mentioned in 18.66 in the Bhagavad Gita, that he will free us from all sinful reactions, he will free us from the cycle of birth and death, and take us back to his eternal abode. Thank you.